I've never been to Yellowstone National Park to view the phenomenon firsthand, but I'm sure, as you know, I know that Old Faithful geyser that is found there is legendary. From what I understand, geysers are notoriously unpredictable, but the earliest settlers in this land found out very quickly that Old Faithful, of course deserving of its name, erupted with great regularity approximately every 90 minutes. When Old Faithful blows, you might find the stats interesting, approximately 3,700 to 8,400 gallons of boiling water shoot up to a height of 106 to 185 feet, lasting from a minute and a half to about 5 minutes. I also learned, as a side note that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about this morning, that some of the early settlers realized that was a great laundromat. And if they could put their dirty clothes in that thing, and when it blew, they'd have some nice clean clothes. Well, provided the clothing was cotton. It cleaned cotton clothes real well. They found out linen clothing, not so well. Pretty well just blasted that to pieces. So, anyway, again, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. But the important point is the fact that this geyser is called Old Faithful for a good reason. That if you or I decided to pay a visit there, you could probably bet money on the fact that a certain size and frequency of an eruption would take place, because that's why they call it Old Faithful. Faithfulness cannot be faked. Either something is faithful or it is not. Thought about the illustration of everyday things that we use. For example, your car. If you went out to start your car in the morning and it had a habit of only starting one time out of four, how faithful would your car be? And what about your watch? What if you have a watch that has a habit of skipping 5 minutes about every 15 minutes? How faithful and reliable would your watch be? And how about your refrigerator? Suppose your refrigerator at home decided to take a day off once a week, except maybe you didn't know which day it was going to choose. How faithful would it be? So faithfulness, I guess, to me is a little bit like a light switch. It's either on or it's off. It's either there or it is not. Faithfulness cannot be faked. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. So one of those qualities that God would desire to instill in us as His people is that quality of faithfulness. And perhaps more than these others, it cannot be faked. Either we have faithfulness or we do not have it. We indeed serve a faithful God. And a faithful God wants to raise up faithful people. So it makes perfect sense that God wants to produce this fruit in our lives. Various passages that remind us of how faithful our God is. I'm encouraged as I read these words. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. You can go to the bank on God's faithfulness. God that we serve is, above all, a faithful God. He keeps His covenant, and I'm immensely grateful for that, because if God changed His mind, we'd be in a lot of trouble. Well, you know that promise I made you about eternal life? Well, I don't know what I was thinking, but I changed my mind. What kind of God would that be to serve? The God that we serve through thick or thin says that I will be faithful to my covenant with you. And so we serve a God who is faithful not only to this generation, but to a thousand generations, as it says. He continually pours out His faithfulness to those who love Him and those who keep His commandments. And that implies faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful in loving Him and following His commandments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Again, you can go to the bank on a faithful God. He is faithful who calls us, and God will certainly bring to pass everything that He has promised to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, God is faithful. God does not change. What God has promised, God will do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, and I believe this refers to Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And so the Son of God certainly is faithful, even as His Father is faithful. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, again, because He who promised is faithful. So we have every right to hold on to the hope that God has promised to us, to get an iron grip on it, because again, God is faithful. God will not change His mind, and that hope He gave you once, He gives you always. It is yours to hang on to because it is backed by a faithful God. I like the hymn that we often sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. What a powerful message. Great is the faithfulness of God. Again, you can count on Him without question. God will not ever have a bad day like we're apt to have from time to time. Every day with God is constant and sure. And again, you can bank on what God said yesterday. You can count on that today and tomorrow. Again, it should not surprise us that His Son, as I like to kind of flippantly call Him the spitting image of His dad, His Son Jesus Christ is also characterized by that same faithfulness. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, a book that we may not read a lot because of how confusing and disturbing it can be. But the opening verses, John, the writer of that letter, writes to the seven churches that are in Asia, and he expresses grace and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and I believe that to be God our Father who is faithful, and also from the seven spirits who are before His throne, in verse 5 especially interesting, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the faithful witness, faithfully representing a faithful God. Revelation chapter 3, a couple chapters over, in verse 14, he writes to the church at Laodicea, not a particularly faithful church, a lukewarm church, but he writes to them, and he calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Again, he is called faithful, the faithful witness. And in Revelation 19, verse 11, I think absolutely the most thrilling chapter in all the Bible, the return of Jesus Christ, our great hope. John saw that heaven was opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. I stake my claim on the faithful witness who represents the faithful Father. I believe those words are true. Those are faithful words that God has inspired a man named John to write these words about what will happen with his son, that a day comes when his son will return, when heaven will be opened, he'll be seated on a white horse, symbol of victory and majesty, and he will come back and he will be represented as faithful to carry out the plan of God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful Savior, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God and our Savior Jesus Christ, both of them desire to cultivate faithfulness in us, the people of God. There's a song that we quite often sing, and yes, we are going to sing it this morning, that challenges us to faithfulness. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my heart, conform it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. That's a good prayer. That's a good appeal for us to make. Faithfulness is what God wants from us. That is this fruit of the Spirit that God wants from us. Faithfulness is what God wants, and it's what you and I need. God indeed wants faithfulness from us. And so the way for that to happen, I think the writer is spot on. God, take my heart. Conform my heart, and take my mind and transform it, and take my will, my desire, and conform it, Lord, to yours. So if we are going to be faithful, we've got to be in step with a faithful God. We've got to be drawn to Him for Him to do this work within us, because on our own, we're not likely to be terribly faithful. I don't know about you, but my faithfulness is rather fickle. My sheer human desire to be faithful just never works. So if I'm going to be those things, then I've got to be drawn to a faithful God who will do that inside work that I know I cannot possibly do by my own will and determination. So that faithfulness that God desires is not my commitment to be a faithful person. It starts with that, but it's the inside job that God has to do. It does not work from the outside in. It has to start on the inside where God transforms and bring it outward in expression and in works. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 to 13. These verses probably were a song by the early church. The Apostle Paul writes and says, it is a trustworthy statement. And so I take that to mean that whenever the people of God would sing this song, it is a trustworthy statement they were singing. And it goes that if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Important words. If we choose to die with Christ, we live in Him. The new life of Christ is in us as we die to ourselves. If we endure, if we hang in there throughout this earthly existence, we're going to reign in the kingdom of God with Christ. If we consciously choose to deny Him, that's kind of the kicker. If we choose to turn our backs and deny Him, you can be sure He's going to turn His back and deny us. But if it's a matter of faithlessness, if in our human determination we're not as faithful as we want to be, it's Christ who is faithful. And so He remains faithful to us even if we are faithless by our human determination and failings. And I'm encouraged by that. If I try to produce faithfulness, I will fail. But never mind, Christ, who is faithful, will still hang in there, and He will produce that faithfulness in my life, in my heart, and in my mind. What conditions best contribute to cultivating the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness in our lives? First and foremost, with all of these, is a heart for God. We can never get around that. When we got to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, soul, our very being, everything revolves around that. So if I want faithfulness in my life, if I want the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness there, I got to have a passion for God. I got to want to know God. I got to seek out God. I've got to desire Him more than anything else. That love for God certainly is the foundation for all. And so it must begin there. Along with that, there is a passage that I think especially speaks to us today out of the Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5. And I found it interesting because this passage literally includes that phrase, cultivating faithfulness. I want you to listen to what the psalmist says to us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it. Those few verses contain some real action-packed words that are critical to cultivating faithfulness in our lives. First of all, we are supposed to trust God. It's well established that God is worthy of trust because He, after all, is a faithful God. And so, if God is absolutely faithful, why wouldn't I want to trust Him? And so I can absolutely depend upon a God who will never change. It is said there's not even a shadow of shifting or change with God. We see shadows change throughout the day as the sun moves. God is not like that. With God, you don't see the shadow ever change. God is absolutely immovable, and we can trust in that God. And so I begin by trusting in God. And secondly, it says I'm called upon to do good. That is an active choice. To choose to do good. We know how hard it is to choose to do good because so often we want to do bad, right? There are things that we want to indulge in, things that are not God-pleasing, that are always appealing. It's like a siren that we can never get out of our head. Do this because this will be fun. You know you want to do this. I actively make a choice, according to the psalmist, to do good as I trust in God. And he also says that we are to dwell in the land. When I read that phrase, I think that means that I take up residence in God's territory. I decide very decisively that I'm going to build a house in the land of God. I'm going to take up residence in the territory of God. I'm going to say, God, your domain is all that I want. I want to live in your rich land. I don't want to live in the land that I choose. I want to be in your territory. And so I choose to dwell within the land of God, His Word and His will. And then the psalmist says, I need to delight in the Lord. You know, that phrase stopped me for a moment because I wonder how much I really know about delighting in the Lord. I find delight in lots of other ways. And I think about delight in a lot of other ways. I think about a kid at a birthday party opening all those presents. You ever been to one of, you see this child with all the mounds of presents? And they're digging in and you can see it in their eyes. They're delighting in everything they're opening it up and all the things that have been given to them. I think about delight. I think about something like that. I think about delight, I think of this big bowl of ice cream, chocolate ice cream, with a nice big spoon, diving into that thing. I think of delight along those lines. But when I read the phrase, delight in the Lord, that's a little bit foreign to me. I like the Lord. I'm trying to cultivate loving the Lord, but absolutely delighting in the Lord, that's a challenging phrase. But if I will delight in the Lord, He will give me, it says in Psalm 37, the desires of my heart. I better make sure it's in that order, because if I delight in what I want, then the desires I pursue are things that are not in my best interest. I need to delight in the Lord, and then He'll give me the desires of my heart. That's just challenging. I want to develop that delight so it would not occur to me to want to desire anything else. I want my heart fixed in such a way that what I delight and I desire is what God ultimately wants and is pleasing to Him. And so the psalmist says that's one of the ways that we cultivate faithfulness. Learn to delight in the Lord. And then he also says, commit your way to the Lord. That is a decisive choice. I choose in my mind, God, I want to go your road. I choose your path. I choose your road. I make a firm decision and I will not veer to the left or the right. I want to go down that road and that one alone. And then again, he comes back to trusting in the Lord, trusting in the one who alone is faithful and worthy of my trust. So if I trust, if I do good, if I dwell in the land, if I delight in the Lord, if I commit my way to Him, all of those are keys in cultivating the fruit of faithfulness. It puts me in a position where God can grow the fruit in my life, because once again, I cannot do it myself. I appreciate the words of Oswald Chambers. Many of you have read his classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. He says, the goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that He will be free to do His work through us. That fits all the fruit of the Spirit. It certainly fits faithfulness. You can count on the fact that God wants to do that. God wants to bring about faithfulness in our lives. And so the thing of it is, I don't commit myself, roll up my sleeves and say, I'm going to try really hard to be faithful today. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be in a position where He can freely do in our lives what we cannot do for ourselves. So, you know, sometimes we make this thing harder than we ought to. I think sometimes we can walk out of church, hear the Word of God, beat ourselves up, say, I just got to try harder. I got to be better. And you know, if we get that attitude and that message, we miss the whole point. What God wants in everything, not just the fruit of the Spirit, but in everything, what God wants is to just get in a position, just to plant our feet in the territory where God says, all right, now I can use you. Don't move around and try to do it yourself. Just stand there and let me do my work inside your life. And then we're going to get somewhere. So I think that's the fundamental message really of all of Scripture. And such a vitally important concept. Just get where He can use you. Don't just try harder and harder like we're prone to want to do. Again, a faithful God wants to do great things through faithful people. He wants to make His surrendered people faithful to Him. And I come back to something that I think God very much wants to do through this congregation. I believe in it so much that I see that it goes on the front of our bulletin every week. And maybe we don't pay a lot of attention to that. I hope that you do. But I think it's good to revisit it from time to time, because I think God wants to perform this faithfulness through us, bringing kingdom wholeness to human brokenness as we await kingdom fullness at the return of Christ. Do not read that statement and say, I need to try harder to do those things. I think this, like everything else, I think this is what God wants to do in this congregation. I think this is God's will for Lakeshore Bible Church. And I have believed it for most of the time that I've been your pastor. I believe God wants to perform a faithful work through a faithful people to do these things. And I think He is doing those things and wants to continue to do so. We embrace that wonderful Kingdom of God message. And it applies to today as well as tomorrow. We believe there's a kingdom coming. We're looking forward to a brand new earth at the return of Christ. We're looking forward to things being better than we can begin to imagine. God is going to do that. But there is a portion of that kingdom that exists today. And I believe that God wants to use us to bring the wholeness of that kingdom to the brokenness that exists. And it not only exists outside, it exists right within. Let's be honest. We have levels of brokenness. Some of us are dying inside, and maybe nobody else knows it. God wants His people to bring wholeness of the kingdom to that brokenness within and without as we wait, as we earnestly look forward to the fullness of that kingdom at the return of Christ. And again, I am firmly persuaded that is God's purpose and will for this congregation, and I hope you believe that as well. If you believe otherwise, we need to talk about it. But I believe that's where God wants to flesh out faithfulness with us, this body of believers. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my heart, conform it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord.